This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 18th, 2024. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 356. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And on the big deal feature, it used to be a fountain and an eternal flame. It was unveiled 37 years ago on August 13, 1987. Now it is a metaphor for a world in conflict. I'm talking about the Vancouver Peace Flame Monument in Kitsilano's Seaforth Peace Park. It has decayed behind a fence for the last 6 years and the park board has no plan to fix it. On this edition, go back in time for highlights from the 1987 unveiling ceremony, featuring then-Mayor Gordon Campbell, Hiroshima bombing survivor Kanuko Lasky, urban planner Larry Beasley, and sculptor Sam Carter. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. War drags on in Ukraine. There is also no end in sight for the Israel-Hamas war, sparked by the October 7th massacre, the deadliest day for Jews since the Holocaust. China's Xi Jinping threatens to invade and annex self-governing Taiwan. The atomic scientists who keep the symbolic doomsday clock set it to 90 seconds to midnight, the closest to global catastrophe it has ever been. A metaphor for a world in conflict languishes in Kitsilano's Seaforth Peace Park, south of the Burrard Bridge in Vancouver, in the shadow of the headquarters of Lululemon. That is where the Peace Flame Monument decays behind a fence. The water line feeding the fountain and the gas supply line feeding the eternal flame were both shut off in 2018. The park opened in 1949 across Burrard Street from the Canadian Forces Seaforth Armory. It was the site where the annual Cold War era End the Arms Race marches began in the 1980s and 1990s, hence the location for the city's monument to remember the August 6, 1945 atomic bombing of Hiroshima. The Vancouver Park Board is spending $2.6 million to fix decorative fountains at 11 sites, but Seaforth Peace Park is not one of them. It could cost $500,000 to fix the fountain, not counting the eternal flame. On this edition of the podcast, highlights from the August 13, 1987 ceremony at Seaforth Peace Park, as originally broadcast live on a program called Message for Peace, the lighting of the Peace Flame Monument by Kitsilano NTV, courtesy of the Vancouver Archives. Here is the voice of urban planner Larry Beasley, who became Vancouver's co-director of planning, explaining how the site was chosen.
As the manager of the Legacies Program, I started talking to a group of people about Seaforth Park, and we worked on different ideas of what it might be and what it might look like. At one point, we thought it might be a water park and or just a contemplative park or whatever. But we didn't really have a theme, and it wasn't coming together, but they were interested in improving the park. So that was one little group of discussions. On the other hand, I started talking to the In the Arms Race organization and the council's committee on peace, chaired by Alderman Libby Davies. And we started thinking about, you know, what might be appropriate. And then while all of that was happening, out of nowhere, in about mid-1986, or I'd say early 1986, came the thought that the flame of peace at Hiroshima should be, in a sense, located around the world, and that there should be this kind of worldwide vigil for peace as symbolized by that flame being at different locations. And we thought, that's it. That's perfect for the Seaforth Park location for a variety of reasons, and that's perfect to symbolize the peace movement in Vancouver. And so we started to build on that notion and brought everyone together around that idea. The basic, the simplest, the clearest message is that message that we all, regardless of how we feel, know that we can't have nuclear war, that there is no choice. And so regardless of how we might get there, this park can accommodate all themes, all theories, all philosophies for how to achieve peace. And they don't need to fight on the battlefield of this park because ultimately they all agree. On the cenotaph in Hiroshima, there is a phrase. It's all chipped out and carved out in the stone. And it's a simple phrase, and it said, It says, "Let all the souls here rest in peace, for we shall not repeat the evil." And to me, the second half particularly of that is absolutely essential to what this is all about. We shall not repeat this evil. And that flame says that.
Sculptor Sam Carter, who passed away last November at the age of 80, explained his vision for the monument.
We were trying to interpret the spirit of the monument in Hiroshima and not replicate it. And when we started looking at images or notions of universal peace, I think probably the greatest source was to go to the peace movement itself. Specifically, the granite that we're using is from Nelson Island, and it's a very indigenous material. It's something that has a life to it. The symbol or the notion behind the form is based on some basic principles of the elements of the earth, the fire, the water, and the pyramid representing north, south, east, west axis encompassing the world. Without getting too symbolic, I think in a nutshell what we've done is we've combined all these basic earth elements and have animated them in such a way that they replicate or give people the idea of a very peaceful environment and a very delicate environment.
Gordon Campbell was Vancouver's 35th mayor. He spoke at the August 13, 1987 ceremony where the eternal flame was lit.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, this is a special night for many people. It's special because tonight we are going to be dedicating a peace monument that reflects not just the concerns of the people of Vancouver and the history and traditions that the people of Vancouver have built for themselves, but clearly the concerns that we all have to feel for peace in the world today. Vancouver has taken a leadership role in Canada, and it's not so much the city as all of the people who make up the city. All of the people who gather each year and participate in a whole variety of activities designed to make the community aware of the problems that we face in the world, and the positive potential that we have if we just concentrate our efforts on peaceful activities. As long as we remember that each man and each woman in the world shares the same commitment to peace, and as long as we remember that each of us can make a small contribution, I think that we're going to be moving further and further along the path of ultimate peace and the elimination of nuclear weapons from the face of the earth. And if in fact we are going to be successful, and if, in fact, eventually we are going to be able to extinguish this flame, we are all going to have to put our energies into making sure that our commitment to peace, our individual commitments to peace, are carried forward and carried on in the future. I think that the gift of this flame represents the shared interests of all Canadians in our quest for peace, and indeed of all men and women in the world in their quest for peace.
Former BC Lieutenant Governor H.P. Budge Bell Irving. He served with the Seaforth Highlanders during World War II.
Your Worship, ladies and gentlemen, on the 8th of May in 1945, the Vancouver Seaforth Highlanders had the great honor of relieving the city of Amsterdam and that ancient and honorable city today. Two generations later, still hears the pipes and drums of the Seaforths as the sound of peace, of liberty, and the end of that war. It's very meaningful, that pipes and drums that we heard tonight. Over the last years, within my lifetime, many young men have been to war as a lark, for fun, because they thought it would be exciting and they didn't know any better, and they were frightened that they might be too late and not get there before it finished. This horrible, awful nuclear age that we now live in has changed all that. A most important change in that now virtually every educated person in the world is fully aware that we cannot, we must not have another war, because any major war will almost certainly be a nuclear war and the death knell of the civilization of the world that we enjoy. It cannot be.
From then Mayor Gordon Campbell.
I would like to read a special message which I've received from Mayor Takeshi Araki, who is the mayor of Hiroshima. On the occasion of the lighting ceremony of the Peace Flame at Peace Park in Vancouver, it is my great pleasure to send my best wishes to you and the people of Vancouver from Hiroshima, which observes 42 years after the atomic bombing. In the early morning of August the 6th, 1987, we citizens of Hiroshima, along with large numbers of people from all over the world, held the Peace Memorial Ceremony at the Peace Memorial Park to console the souls of fallen A-bomb victims and to renew our prayer for peace. I delivered the peace declaration to the whole world to appeal for the need of nuclear abolition and human coexistence and prosperity. We, the humankind, find ourselves to be around the very turning point from nuclear proliferation to nuclear disarmament. It is high time for us to stop this endless nuclear arms race. Each and all of us have to recognize this fact and work together for peace. Closing my message, I wish to express my sincere hope that the peace flame in Vancouver will become a symbol of our pursuit to peace. And it's signed Takeshi Araki, Mayor of Hiroshima. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Ms. Kanuku Lasky.
A special guest speaker at the ceremony, Kanuku Lasky, a Vancouverite who survived the bombing of Hiroshima.
At 8:15 a.m. on August 6, 1945, I was 16 years old, 1.4 kilometers from the hypocenter in Hiroshima, badly injured and suffered both mentally and physically for a long time. I hope no one has to follow my footsteps. I believe that bombs are only for destroying things we love and teach us to hate. They cannot give us peace or love. I deeply believe love and understanding is the only way. So many people have died in the wars. It is because of those servicemen who die for their country that we live in this beautiful city today. May this flame of peace help remind us of our responsibility to future generations.
Those are highlights from Message for Peace, the Lighting of the Peace Flame Monument, originally broadcast live in 1987 by Kitsilano NTV and courtesy of the Vancouver Archives. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, Taiwan's main international airport to open third terminal in 2027. Taoyuan International Airport Company says the terminal is about 40% complete. The budget doubled to almost 5.5 billion Canadian dollars. In Kyoto news, Kishida set to resign as Japan Prime Minister after withdrawing from LDP race. Fumio Kishida, who hosted the Group of Seven summit in his home constituency of Hiroshima in 2023, has seen the approval ratings for his cabinet, launched in October 2021, plunge to the 20% range in the wake of the slush funds scandal, which first broke last year. He is the eighth premier since 1945 to reach 1,000 days in office. In the Hong Kong Free Press, mood of mainland-born Hong Kongers consistently better than those born in the city, survey finds. Data from the Hong Kong Public Opinion Research Institute showed that the public sentiment index for all groups, regardless of their place of birth, was lowest in the second half of 2019 when the city was engulfed in protests. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In Willamette Week, Multnomah County Commissioner seeks pause in Deflection Center project. Multnomah County Commissioner Sharon Myron is seeking to pause plans for a $2 million drug deflection center in inner southeast Portland, saying that too many questions remain about security at the facility and what services will be offered there. State lawmakers urged counties to, quote, deflect people from the criminal justice system and toward treatment, offering money for deflection programs. In Crosscut, a tribute to Charles R. Cross, Seattle writer, historian, and friend. More than a music journalist, the best-selling author and editor of The Rocket crafted a vital chronicle of the evolving culture of his home city. Cross died in his sleep on August 9th. He was 67 years old. Cross was the biographer of Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain. In the story in Crosscut, he is called, quote, just a guy who loved Seattle and wanted people to know what makes this place so peculiar and frustrating and wonderful, end quote. And in the Breaker.News, read the stories behind these headlines. Kitsilano Pool failed health inspection week before closure announced, and price plummets for disbarred Richmond lawyer Hong Guo's closed office. Read them in the Breaker.News. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone. The Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the people at the Pacific National Exhibition. The PNE Fair is on again until Labor Day, Vancouver's summertime tradition at Hastings Park since 1910. A tip of the hat to President Shelley Frost, all the way down to the people that clean up the fairgrounds every day. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 18th, 2024. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 18th of August in 1938, the Thousand Islands Bridge over the St. Lawrence River connecting Ontario with New York was opened by President Franklin Roosevelt and Prime Minister Mackenzie King? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the free email newsletter and get updates to your inbox, or follow The Breaker News as news happens on X, formerly Twitter. And you can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.